16th chapter of John. And I've got notes here somewhere. There they are. That's supposed to keep me on track. But we also know how that is. All right, let's all stand. Reverence to God's word, if you can. If you can't, that's all right. The Lord knows your heart. And I'm going to get this in my pocket. John chapter 16. And verse 1. These things have I, this is Jesus speaking, these things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. For these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your house, Lord, to sing praise unto you, to hear your word. Lord, we do in a special way ask that you would be with us here this morning. Open our hearts and minds to your word. Open our willingness to the Holy Spirit as that speaks to us. And Lord, we ask that you in a special way would be with those that are sick. Lord, we have many out today, not just here, but in other areas as well. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the great physician. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement we receive from you. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, they've never trusted you, Lord, today would be that day, and we thank you for that. Ask, Lord, that you would hide me behind that cross. It's nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And in his name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Now, the disciples, they just couldn't understand why Jesus had to go. He explained it to them, but they still just did not get it. But I wanted to speak to you today on the work of the Holy Ghost. What really does the Holy Ghost do? There's some things that I want to explain in here. At first read, you may be getting it a little different. But nonetheless, we're gonna do that. Jesus explained to him that it was expedient, imperative that he go back to heaven. And by returning to heaven and by returning to God the Father, the Holy Ghost would come, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He would come here and dwell on this earth and dwell with his believers and dwell with the churches that the Lord had started. And by the way, by that, it would bring a much greater blessing by his presence here on earth. We think the earth is evil, but it ain't nothing if the Holy Spirit If the Holy Spirit wouldn't be here or wasn't here, we wouldn't be here in this building today. This earth would be in bad shape. Now, the walk as a Christian cannot be lived by the way and the energy of your flesh. It's not going to happen. It has to be within the power of the Holy Ghost. And without the Holy Ghost, we'll do nothing but mess up. If you're trying to live a Christian life for the Lord on your own, you can't do it. It's not going to work for you. Now, the Spirit comes for a purpose, that being one of them, but He convicts the world. You see, the world is not a friend of the Christian. And Christ warned of all of that. And a good example of that in the Bible was the Apostle Paul. It said in the Bible, we read a moment ago, that they'll kill you or they'll persecute you, give you problems, and they'll be doing it and they think they're doing God a service. The Apostle Paul was a good example of that. Paul was a Pharisee. He was in the Sanhedrin. He was top of the heap. But that's what he was doing. He was going around persecuting those that love Jesus Christ, those that claim to be Christian. And that'll happen and has happened in our world and has happened in the United States and is still going on. They would rather you not be here. They really would. Now, once we're gone, they're going to be wishing we were back. But to be honest with you, they just soon not have a Christian around. So he has a job, and he convicts the world. Now, Jesus had explained to them the work that the Holy Spirit would do in the world, but it was in the world through the church. That's where the Holy Spirit is the most powerful, is in a God-fearing church. Now, we got to keep in mind that the Holy Spirit doesn't come to the lost world. It really doesn't. It's through the Christian that the Holy Spirit works. He comes to God's people. The Holy Ghost is here reminding mankind of its awful sin. And that's honestly why they fight against having God and Jesus in school. That's why they fight against having the Ten Commandments and things in the courthouses and etc. They want to get rid of that. Because if they get rid of that, they think that's going to make them feel better about what they're doing. But it's not. As long as the Holy Ghost is in this world and working through the Lord's people, they're always going to have that conviction in there. Listen, when a Christian, a believer, somebody that's saved, when they're out of the will of God, when they're at war with God, they don't want to be around another Christian because it bothers them. And you ain't got to say nothing about what they're doing. It just bothers them. The Holy Spirit speaking to them. And it's the same way with lost people. Lost people don't enjoy church. They don't want to be around Christians. We're Bible thumpers. We're do-gooders. We're Jesus freaks. Amen. Somebody noticed. That's the way I look at it. And they don't want to be around us. Because it convicts them. And they'll blame it on you. It's not you that's convicting them. It's the Holy Ghost that's living within you that is doing the convicting to this person. They don't get it though. And they're not going to get it. Not until they trust the Lord Jesus. They just want to get away from you. And that's why they want to get rid of Christians. You see, it's the influence of God's people. And by the way, without conviction, nothing changes. The reason that we're able to come here, the reason that we have the laws of this land is because of the Holy Ghost. Because of the conviction it placed on the forefathers when they come over here and founded this country. Now, it said he convicts of sin. Now, I just told you a minute ago that the Holy Ghost really doesn't work in lost people's life. He does it for individual sins. like going out, well, we ain't got to go into all that, doing things you ought not to do. Honestly, his conviction is the rejection of Jesus Christ. You see, that, listen, going out and partying and going to the clubs and killing people and all of these things, that does not send a person to hell. It won't. And it ain't a good thing to do. And the benefits ain't real good if they catch you. Well, anymore, it's getting pretty easy. They let them out of jail now. But all of that is not the problem. The problem is when the Holy Spirit convicts them and says, you need Jesus, they don't want Jesus, and that's what sends a person to hell. When a person leaves this world without Jesus, they will go to a place called hell. There is no other way to see it. The Bible does not give another option. You don't go to purgatory. You don't go to some little holding pen until Aunt so-and-so prays you out or Uncle so-and-so puts enough money in the plate. You're there. Once you get there, you're done. It's over with. You will suffer for the rest of your life right there. The kids in school, when I mentioned something about Hitler the other day, and I said, and guess where Hitler is? Hitler is burning in hell, has been since about 1945. And he ain't even begun yet. He'll be there and suffer for the entirety of eternity. Somebody tell me how long is eternity? Forever. I could ask how long is forever. Well, that's an eternity, right? There is no timeline on it. None whatsoever. It's from now on. All we can fathom is, I can get 61 years. I've been around 61 years. Seems like a long time. Some days it seems like it's pretty short. But that ain't even measurable to eternity. But that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. He convicts the world the fact they need Jesus, and they don't want that. That's what sends a person to hell. They all get an opportunity. Everybody gets an opportunity to go to heaven. You know, well, I've never had one. Yeah, you have. And if you hadn't, you'd get one today. All you got to do is trust in Jesus Christ and ask Jesus to save you. And guess what? That seals the deal.
Amen.
You'll end up in heaven. Oh, it's just that simple. I just say, Jesus saved me. Well, if you believe in him. Honestly, if you believe that God sent his son to die on the cross for your sins, and you ask him to forgive you and to come into your heart and save you, and you truly are believing, that's all it takes. That's it. It's real. It's not hard. There's no work involved. It's all about believing what Jesus did for us and that we ask him into our heart to save us. You see, Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. And then, you know what? Everything here is going to be much better. Your pocketbook's going to fill up. No, Bible didn't say that. It said when it's all said and done, that's where you'll be. Sister Judy, we just put her casket and her earthly tabernacle, her house that she was living in, we just put it in the ground. We're going to be doing that with Sister Betty. We put Sister Annie in the ground here a while back. Did the same thing with Brother Mike here a while back and some others that I could name. And guess what? Every one of them professed the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and every one of them right now are in heaven.
Amen.
But if any of them did not believe in Jesus, the last breath they took, they didn't go to heaven. They went to hell. And that ain't the place we want to be. Bon Scott, he wrote a song called Highway to Hell. I'm on a highway to hell. And he never even heard it come out on the radio because he got on a highway to hell. And he woke up in hell. And he's still there. It's true. Well, I don't know if I believe in heaven or hell. Well, that's fine. You do what you want to do. That's called rejection of Jesus Christ. You'll believe in it one day. I promise you. He convicts the world of righteousness. Now, I want you to understand that's not unrighteousness. It's righteousness. The sins of the sins of lost souls is unrighteousness. Christ is speaking of the Holy Ghost conviction of the world, not of individual believers, although there's a personal application here. You can talk about that with unbelievers. The Holy Ghost's presence in this world is proof of righteousness in Christ. If Jesus had not have been righteous, he would not have ended up in heaven and the Holy Ghost would not have came. That would all been a lie. Everything I just read to you where he said, I'll send the Comforter wouldn't have never showed up. We wouldn't be convicted of anything. We'd all die in our sin and go to hell. But because Jesus said, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to heaven to sit on the right hand of God because he's righteous. And through him, the saved are righteous. That's what he's convicting them of. It all boils down to conviction and that he convicts people on earth that God the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead and he is alive. And I serve a living God. Amen. I don't serve one that the worms ate. I serve a living God. He is a living Savior and he is in heaven. And by the way, I commune with him on a regular basis. And I know I do. I know he talks to me. Now, he don't just come out loud and, hey, Jim, that ain't the way that works. It's all in here. Do you know your heart has little ears on it? They showed a picture of it to me on my heart. It had these little lumps. That doctor said that's ears. No, I'm kidding. Honestly, we have ears in our heart. If you don't believe me, say your name in your head four times. Did you hear it? With what ear did you hear it? Uh-huh. There's a heart's ear in there. That same voice that says, you need Jesus. You heard it with what ear? Didn't hear it with this ear, because I didn't hear it. You heard it with the heart, your heart's ears. You see, our hearts, listen, God designed us perfectly. It's amazing what we've got. But he's also going to, he also convicts of judgment of this world. Not the judgment to come. Listen, there's a judgment coming. One of these days, Christians are going to be walking around this world, or we're going to be in church, or we're going to be at work, or flying our airplane. Who's got an airplane? All right. Well, driving your truck. And all of a sudden, poof, you're just going to be gone. And right after that, there's what they call the seven-year tribulation. There's a lot happens in that. We're seeing all of that coming to be. Why do you think our world is heading the way it's heading? I read in Revelation, our world is going to be exactly what it's going to be right now when I was a teenager. And I'm like, nah, we ain't never going to get this bad. When have you ever known that you couldn't walk in a restaurant in certain places without showing them your rabies shot? Because that's what you got to have it now. My son was just in Seattle, Washington. They won't let you come in a restaurant without proving to them that you're vaccinated. It's insane. When was it when you walked to the grocery store, and I did a while back, and they said, you can't come in without a mask. And I said, well, I don't have one. Give me one. Well, you'll just have to call our delivery service. Well, I never thought that day would come. Shut down the entire world over a bad cold or flu. I never thought it'd come, but guess what? I read about it before it ever happened in the book of Revelation. And I just didn't think it would happen in my lifetime. There's a bunch of stuff in here I hope doesn't happen in my lifetime. But now it's like, well, I know where it's going. It shouldn't take us by surprise. That ain't the judgment that the Holy Spirit's talking about. The Holy Spirit really, that is not the judgment to come. Here Christ is talking about the past judgment that was at the cross. You see, it's not future. He spoke of judging Satan and the world. Look at verse 31, I think, of John chapter 12. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. You see, the Holy Spirit is convicting people of this world today of that judgment that, guess what? It already took place when Christ died on the cross. That judgment's already happened. And he was telling them people. Now, Satan is the god of this world in the sense of who people serve. Because if you're not a child of God, you're a child of Satan. Well, that's a terrible thing to say, but it's true. If you're not saved, you don't belong to God. You belong to Satan. Oh, I don't worship Satan. I don't either. Didn't when I was young, before I got saved. But it really and truly you did. You just don't know it. You see, God controls the entire world. But he's talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's evidence that Satan has done been judged and he's been defeated. Otherwise, Satan would be controlling the world. While I look around, maybe Satan is controlling the world. Satan can't do anything without God allowing it. He tortured Job, but that's because God said you can do it. He killed all of Job's family, but that's because God said he could do it. God said, but you can't take his life. Never could. Job got sick. Man, he was in bad shape. Lost all his children, lost everything he had, all but a nagging wife. And she was a nag. She come to him and said, hey, just curse God and die. Job's like, nah, I ain't that stupid. I'm still alive. He was a very wise man. And you know what? God took care of him, blessed him with more than he had ever had before. He didn't change wives, by the way, so maybe she got her life right. I don't know. You see, now, something else is very important that the Holy Spirit does. We know he does all of this stuff I'm reading about. And we deal with it. But he also deals with God's children individually. You see, for one, the Spirit really instructs Christians. Go to chapter 16 and verse 12. And I flipped one too many pages. Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Now, there's a lot of things in my life that I've just started discovering. Because 20 years ago, I couldn't have handled it. But I understand a whole lot more than I used to now. Look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, that's the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He guides us if we're willing to let him. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. He guides us. He lets us understand, hey, this is not a good thing to be doing. This is what you ought to be doing. That's the guidance he gives. And if you've ever been in a cult, false religion, he lays it on your heart, something's wrong. I've been in churches and listened to people preach, and I told her, I was like, we in the wrong place. These people are nuts. Because it's wrong. I've been in churches that teach you got to be baptized, and you got to do this, you got to do that, and you got to wear a dress a certain way and to get to heaven. That ain't true. I wasn't wearing a suit and tie, by the way, when I got saved. That opened the door for me. I wasn't wearing a suit and I wasn't perfect when I got baptized. I was saved. But I got baptized before that, before I got saved. It wasn't going to get me to heaven. I done told you that. I got saved and baptized one time so I could date her. That was the truth. You can't ask my father-in-law. He's in heaven. But he knew it. But I got saved later on, and then I followed the Lord in baptism. But it's not you lay out this, you got to do this to get to heaven, you got to do that to get to heaven. Damn, but one thing you got to do to get to heaven, that's believe in Jesus and ask Him in your heart. That's all you got to do. That's it. Nothing else. If it's you got to have Jesus plus, then get up and leave because you're in the wrong place. The Holy Spirit will tell you you're in the wrong place. You need to leave. But see, we got to have a willingness to learn and live the Word of God for the Holy Spirit to talk to us. We can blot Him out. We can fix it where we just don't hear Him no more. I used to drive a Peterbilt, had my own truck. My dad got in there with me one day, and man, I cranked it up. And of course, Hank Jr. or whatever was blaring on the radio because I had an Alpine stereo. It was nice. And he's like, "How do you know something's wrong with the truck?" I'm like, "I don't have to." "What do you mean?" I said, "If it stops, something's wrong. Otherwise, I don't hear it. And I don't have to worry about it." "Well, that's crazy." "Well, that's true. I might have could have prevented something if I'd have been listening." I had a blowout one time, and the reason I knew it was because it was doing this. Because I didn't hear it go boom. You see, when we're not paying attention to the Holy Spirit, that's the way it is. You've got the flesh blaring at about 110 decibels, and you don't hear the Spirit talking to you at 80 decibels. So we need to turn down the flesh so we can hear the Spirit. And then He will give us that. By the way, He not only instructs us, the Holy Spirit encourages us. Have you been discouraged over what's going on in the world? We ought not to be. It told me. I got real discouraged and I got real angry. And I'm like, "Well, this just stinks." But then I got to reading the Bible and listening to the Holy Ghost. And it's like, "Well, wait a minute. It's got to happen in order for me to go to heaven. All of it had to take place so that we could go to heaven. Jesus had to die on the cross." I had somebody tell me one time, "Well, they shouldn't have killed Christ." No, I'm glad they did. Because without Christ dying for my sins, I wouldn't be able to go to heaven. I'd have to live here on this stinking earth and wear a mask. Because it's getting worse. Look, they don't have masks in heaven. They don't have vaccines in heaven. They don't have Omicron, Deltacron, and Delta variant, and COVID, and Flurona. Now we got that one. Because they're running out of the alphabet. Because they can't get much higher. Oh, so. See, they made it to Omicron, and they backed up to D because they didn't know that it's NOP. You know, anyway. They don't have that in heaven. We don't have these problems. And by the way, you don't have a Democrat and a Republican in heaven. Amen. That's what me and Miss Betty, we butted heads, man. She got mad at me when I voted for Trump. "Ah, I can't believe it." You know what she told me about, what, a week and a half before she passed? She said, "You know what, Pastor?" She said, "You took this road, I took that road." She said, "But they don't have that in heaven." I said, "No, they don't." Amen. And that's good. That's a good thing. We don't have to fool with it. Ain't got to vote either. That all works good. You see, Christ said to them in verse 16, because I am going away, you'll see me again. Because of the fact he was going away. You see, after his resurrection from the dead, he was risen. But they would also see him when the Spirit came to dwell with them. You see, they would exchange their physical sight for spiritual insight. You see, there's a lot of things in this Bible that I haven't seen with these eyes. Did you know the heart has eyes as well? Not just ears. I see things in here that you won't see out there right now. Now, you will eventually. But I can see things. It's like, whoa, I didn't realize that. And give it time and it actually happens to where I see them right here. If you read and study the Word of God, and if you'll rely on the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct you, you'll start understanding why we're wearing masks. You'll start understanding what the vaccines are. You'll start understanding this stuff ain't coming to a halt. It's going to keep right on going. Oh, we may slow it down a little bit. But the norm, as we call it, that's gone. Ain't going to be no norm no more. You're always going to have some idiot that thinks he knows something, that don't know nothing. I call them eggheads. An egghead is somebody educated beyond their own intelligence. And we have a lot of them in D.C. We got to, in other words, once we got the Holy Spirit, if you're walking by faith and not by sight, you start seeing spiritual insight instead of physical sight. You don't need the physical sight. All you need is the spiritual sight. You see, the reason I can live day by day without going and blowing something up or shooting a bunch of folk is because I live by faith and not by sight. I know God is going to take care of me. I don't have to worry about it no more.
Amen.
It's like the more and more of this mess I see, the more my bag gets packed to go to heaven. And that's a spiritual bag, by the way. I ain't taking nothing with me. So he not only does the Holy Spirit instruct us, he encourages us, but he does something else that I'm going to be honest with you, is very, very important for us. The Spirit helps us to pray. He helps us to pray the right way. Because there's a lot of times, man, it's hard to pray the right way. Look at verse 23 of 16. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Let me stop right there. Man, I want a Harley. Lord, give me a Harley. I can serve you better on a Harley. And a really nice rope horse would be real good. Because I could do a little roping on the side. See, I like roping. But that ain't what the Lord's talking about. The Lord's talking about when I pray, Lord, this world's a mess. I know some lost people. But even so, come Lord Jesus. That's what he's talking about. It's me communicating to him and saying, I'm praying for these people that just don't get it. But nonetheless, come on and take me home because I'm ready. He answers those prayers. Miss Betty ain't here because the Lord answered her prayer. She was praying, Lord, take me home. Listen, she didn't want to be here no more. This ain't no home. We're just passing through this place. Oh, I like it here. I'm supposed to. I like it here. I got my grandkids here. I'd like to see them grow up and, Lord help the guy that marries Riley. He's going to be a tough one, I promise you that. But you know what? The Lord's got something a whole lot better for us than waiting on that here. Because there's a lot of suffering between now and then that we may have to put up with. There's things that goes through my mind and I'm like, wow, I hope that doesn't happen to one of my grandkids. I got 7 of them all together. I don't want that to happen to my grandkids. But the longer they stay here, there's more opportunity it will. You see, heaven's a whole lot better. It's a whole lot better than what we can even imagine. What was I reading? Verse 23, I think I made it to 4. 25 says, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly the Father. And that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things and needest not any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered." Did he lie to them? No, they scattered. "Every man to his own and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." You see, in that day, honestly, I think it referred to right then and there. And then the Comforter came. And by the way, prayer is great. It's powerful. It's a privilege. You see, we need to consider the words of Christ about prayer. You can look in John 14 and verse 13 through 14. John 15, 7. John 15, 16. Prayer is important to the believer. You see, as a believer allows the Spirit to teach them the Word and teach them in the Word, we grow in our prayer life. I pray a whole lot more now than I used to pray. I pray a whole lot different now than I used to pray. I used to pray, "Lord, I really need this and I really need that." And it's not quite that way anymore. Oh yeah, I pray for good health. I pray that the Lord takes me in my sleep. Because I ain't afraid of dying. I'm just afraid of how it's going to happen. You know, some idiot probably back up over me and then pull back over me to see what he hit. That'd be about my luck. And I'll lay there and, you know, for 20 minutes. I just soon it, you know, like, man, that'd be, you just go to sleep one night, love you, honey, and wake up in heaven. That'd be the way to do it. You know, a lot of people thought Judy, oh, bless Judy's heart, she had pancreatic cancer, stage 4, and then she got pneumonia and it killed her. Listen, God done her a favor. You ever met anybody with pancreatic cancer that went through it? It ain't good. The Lord went ahead and took her. He helped her out. That was the answer to prayer of a lot of people. But you see, prayer and the Word go together. Look at what Jude, we got to go to Jude. Way back there in the back. If you find Revelation, you went one book too far. And it's verse 20. And there's only one chapter, so that ain't hard to find. Might be having struggles getting to Jude like me, but verse 20, he said, "But ye beloved," I think it's verse 20. If it ain't, well, always thought it should have been. Yeah. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, we need to allow the Holy Ghost to work in our life and pray within the Holy Ghost. Listen, we're praying to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost. He's the one that speaks to the Lord for us because we don't know exactly what to... I may pray this, and when by the time it gets to God, it was all straightened out because I don't have very good English. But by the time it gets to Him, He understands what I'm truly wanting because I don't always have words for it. You see, it commands us to pray to the Holy Ghost. There's way too much praying done in the flesh, asking for things really that ain't God's will. And we need to be careful with that. You see, the Spirit knows the mind of the Father, and He can lead us to pray. A guy told me one time, he said, let me explain the way God works. He said, the best way I know how. He said, my son wanted a certain bicycle at Walmart. He said, and I knew it was a problem. He said, so I'd go in and I'd say, see this bicycle? That's the one you want, son. No, Dad, I want this one. Man, look at it. Yeah, but son, you want this? Every time they go to Walmart, that's what he would do. He would say, look at this bike. Oh, you ought to get on this bike. Well, yeah, but I like this one. Do you know eventually he walked in Walmart and said, Dad, that's the bike I want right here. I want this bike. You see, that's the way it works. We want to pray in the flesh. Because, yeah, when I was pulling the one-armed bandit, I wanted to hit it big so I could give at least an eighth of it to the church. You know, because I need the rest. But eventually God told me, you really don't need this machine. All you need is me. I'll give you the direction you need. I'll give you what you... Listen, I may have lost a little weight lately, but I'm a long way from my six-pack. I still got a can. The Lord takes care. Hey, the Lord takes care of me. He does. He feeds me well. I don't have no problem. I hadn't slept outside this week. Not because I might not have made her mad, but I just stayed in the house. She said, "Well, you're in the doghouse." Well, the dog lives in the house, brother. You see, you got to be smarter than a dog. You make sure she lives inside, so if you got to sleep in the doghouse, you inside. Works good. The Lord helps us. You see, the Holy Ghost controls our prayers to tell the Lord what we really need. And He convinces us, honestly. When we're listening to the Holy Spirit, eventually I get to where I don't pray for all the fleshly junk. What's the point? It ain't none of it going to heaven, no how. Not a bit of it. Harley ain't going with me. You know, it just ain't, it's not that big a deal. Now, if he wants to give me one, that's his business. I ain't sure I'd ride it around here, but hey, I'll let the Lord take care of it. And if we'll do that, we'll be a whole lot better off. The testimony of the disciples, and we're going to close, really had to have gladdened the Lord's heart, what we read a minute ago. Verse 32. But He warned them of coming failure. Listen, we're all going to fail. They all scattered. They told Him, we know who You are, Lord. We know that You're from God. We know that You are in control of all things. But Jesus said, you're going to scatter. You're going to fail. Listen, none of us sitting here isn't going to fail. We're going to fail because we're in the flesh. It's going to happen. But even think about it. When Jesus died on the cross, He said these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What do you think happened? When he was hanging on the cross and took on all of our sins, God was standing in heaven and he did this. He turned his back on his son. You see, that's what took place. But then look at this. Jesus said, and this is a blessing to me. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You see, because Jesus overcome the world, we're a child of His, we'll overcome as well. The Holy Ghost has a special ministry in our lives. But are we allowing Him to have His way? Are we allowing Him to speak to us? And are we listening to what He's telling us? Whether it may be you need to get saved. It may be you need to get into the Word more. You need to build a closer relationship more. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing, but are we allowing Him to do that in our lives? If we're not, we should be. Let's stand.